Welcome to the Chair Yoga Podcast with me, Maria Jones. Knowledge and inspiration for teaching and practicing chair-based yoga.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Chair Yoga Podcast. Today, Karen will talk to us about teaching rest-free yoga. Karen James has been consistently practicing yoga since 2014 and teaching since 2019. Yes. She teaches the kind of classes that support gentle movement, including yin and chair yoga. She's an advocate that everybody and every body type should be able to practice and appreciate, recognize where they are and that they are enough in any given moment. That taking time and showing up on the mat for yourself and no matter how you're feeling is important and valid. So thank you very much for coming. Tell us what brought you in the space of actually teaching yoga.
It's strange because sometimes people have this profound moment of why they started yoga. And unfortunately, I don't. It was just something I thought, oh, I'm going to try. And I'd heard about it and I thought, oh, I wonder what this is all about. And that was in 2014. And it was very much physical. It was very much a physical practice. I went along because I made the assumption it was about exercise. And this was another form of exercise to me, because I just didn't research it. I just went along. And that's how I started out in yoga and then thought, oh, I quite like this. I'm going to continue. But it was, for many years, it was still about the physical aspect of it, what I looked like, how I could do the difficult postures. It was all that. I'm not going to pretend that there was any life-changing moment, the reason why I decided to do it. So it was about physical aspect and, yeah, just how I looked and just got under my skin. I was going six times a week and thinking, oh, this is, yeah, at the beginning, until I started to slow down, thinking, what is the purpose of all of this? I think the profound moment was when I stood on my mat one day in Tadasana and I just connected and started to cry. No idea why, can't remember the story behind it, but I just felt as if I'd seen myself for the first time and shown up for me, and that connection. And then I started thinking, there's more to this. There's much more to this. So yeah, that's how I started and decided to do my teacher training in 2019, or finished my teacher training in 2019. Had no idea that I wanted to teach at all. And I was teaching after work, really, because yoga is something that I do part-time. I have a full-time job, but part-time I teach yoga. So I was teaching people at work. And then when I was coming home, maybe once at the weekends teaching. So again, it was to do the teacher training, but not to actually to teach anybody. Yeah. So that's how I started out.
I love the fact that you had no expectations from the practice, really profound expectations some people have, which created almost this space for you to explore, which is, I guess, what led you to doing a teacher training so that you can find out more. And then when you did your teacher training, you're like, oh, there's even more to this. So I love that. And I love that journey that you described to us. And coming to the second question, which I kind of love, because our subject today is teaching rest-free yoga. And it is something that us yoga teachers see being asked from our students quite often. And as a chronically ill person myself, I have been there. But people have injuries, people grow older, people suffer from rheumatoid arthritis or any other type of arthritis, and they come to classes needing rest-free yoga. The other reason I would say that some people need rest-free yoga is because they are chronically ill, and placing weight on their wrists, arms, and shoulders, in fact, makes them feel incredibly tiring. It's like asking somebody to hold their arms overhead for a very long time. In your work, when you see people in your classes like this, or if you're doing one-to-one, what approaches in the practice of yoga have been beneficial for your clients, thinking about providing low impact, low intensity, gentle kind of yoga class, and of course, risk-free yoga.
I'll quote Alexandra Crow, because I've done a lot of work with her. So a lot of things is about inquiry, coming in and out. So where you mentioned holding your hands up high, why? Why can you not raise your hands, bring them down? Raise them, bring them down. It's all about finding your own safety. It's not about me providing safety. It's finding what's safe for you. On any given day, it will be different, because you'll know your mood affects, your emotions affect how your body moves. So allow people the scope to inquire, how does my body feel today? I don't know that until you start to say, okay, maybe you want to lift your arms, maybe you don't. So it's always about inquiry, always about allowing people to ask themselves the question, but keeping it in a way that there's no expectation. I am not expecting you to lift your arms up. I'm not expecting you to be on your wrists or on your hands. Also, I sometimes, when I teach a chair class, I'll say something, for example, maybe we're rolling our wrists today. But you know what? If you can't roll your wrists, what about rolling your elbows? What about moving your knees? What about your ankles? So knowing that it's not a specific part of the body that we're moving, that if you can't move your wrists, can you move your ankles? If you can't move your toes, can you move your fingers? And it's that where people then don't think, oh my God, I'm less than because I can't do this in my wrists. But actually, today I can move my toes and ankles. Okay, today I can move my elbows. Or what about my head? So I have actually incorporated a little head flow using that. Okay, we're swaying the body, for example. But if you can't, what about just moving your head from side to side? What about going up and down? This is now our cat cow. So it's always trying to reimagine something and then taking it back to, how do I want people to feel? And also come in and out. But now, do you feel tired? Do you feel any sensations that are no longer wise to your body? Stop. Have a rest. Come back to your anchor. So it's always that kind of way that I teach, is that the autonomy and what you do remains with you. It's not about me. I always say in classes, I'm here to facilitate, not dictate to you. So how do I facilitate that is hopefully holding space that you discover you. I can't teach you that. You are the best teachers in the room when it comes to your body. So how can I facilitate the class to allow you to be the best teacher?
That sounds amazing, and it brings up thoughts about students being agents for their own body and agency, in the sense that they need to advocate for their own well-being.
Yes.
And definitely, it's something that in a way we must teach them by, like you said, announcing that we're really facilitating a practice. We are sharing rather than teaching, that we are allowing exploration at any level. It's fine. And it is your journey. I am just facilitating this. Feel free to follow or not, yeah, within reason. But yes.
Yeah. And that's my approach, because sometimes we talk about, or I hear a lot and about keeping students safe. And I will say that is actually not my role. I am not here to keep you safe. One, I'm not going to do postures. We laugh and joke and I'll say, oh, let's do, you know, for example, let's do a handstand today. We're going to balance on one finger. That's what I've said in the class, just to get people laughing. And they said, we're going to balance on one finger. And then I just use the chair and I go, there you go. I'm balancing on one finger. It's reimagining things. It's reimagining how you're going to. I'm standing on the top of my head. Now I'm reimagining that my head is standing on top of my hand. And it's all of that kind of thing that people laugh at, but it's about what you're on social media and thinking, right, for example, sitting on a chair, do I need to convert every single posture from standing exactly the same way on a chair? No, I don't. And this is, and the people that I teach on chairs are able-bodied people. However, they come back because they think, oh my gosh, I can really connect with the chair. It's an extension of who I am in this moment. How am I showing up for myself while seated on a chair? With the hands, at some of the classes that I do is standing. And it's a case of, we might be seated, but actually we can stand, or you can use the wall. Because honestly, all of my classes are online. So people have the wall at home, a chair, they could be on their bed. It's, you know, how do you create a class that people could be standing, people could be lying on the bed, people could be sat on a chair, they could be on the floor. And if people have got their cameras off, it's then building a class that's universal, that hasn't got any tricks in. It may not have many postures in there, and that exploration in and out, and then allow people, because sometimes people just get carried away in just, well, I like this in and out. I like this. I'm not moving on to the next thing, because actually this is where I want to be today. And this is how I feel. And that's it. Yeah. It's not necessarily all about down dog, putting your hands down, tabletop, but you can reimagine those postures in a different way. Tabletop against the wall, tabletop sat on a chair, tabletop lying down on your back, arms up. What is it that you want to feel? What's the purpose of each posture? So is it that you want to feel into the shoulder blades? Is it that you want to see how far the hands extend? Is it that today we're trying to think about one side of the body compared to the other, because we're so caught up in symmetry? So can you explore the fact that one side of the body, no, it's different to the other. The other thing I always say is, you don't have to do it on both sides. If you want to just do it on the left side because the left side is showing up for you today, do it all on the left. I promise you, you're not going to walk around in a circle today.
I joke about that. I said, you're not going to wake up in the middle of the night going, oh, I haven't done the left side.
Yeah. So there's things I said, if we were to do everything on one side and then the other, and then we would probably never leave the house. Don't think that just because all of a sudden you come onto your chair or the yoga mat, then the way that you live your life leaves. Bring your life with you and adapt it, make it functional to be part of how you can adapt to your life too. And probably storytelling. Sometimes I'll say, we're a bear. How does that change your wrist position when you curl your fingers? How does it change when you move your hands? Do you want to pretend you're playing on a piano? Does that just get the fingers going that helps the wrists? So it really depends what people have, and staying in my lane as a yoga teacher, but expanding the lane so that people can join me on the journey.
Exactly. We are facilitating a journey, and the more we can welcome on that journey, the better it is, which answered the third question very well anyway. Just in case people didn't realize, we were talking, Karen has been giving us a lot of tips about how to teach yoga to an audience that may be struggling with mobility around their wrists or shoulders or even any other part of their body. It seems it's a journey of exploration, and the more people we can invite on that journey, the better it is. I wanted to say something about teaching able bodies instead of less able bodies. Adaptation is for everybody, especially when it comes to dynamic movement in and out, or repetitive tracking movement, whatever you want to call it. Coming in and out of the pose has plenty of benefits in terms of layering in the breath. That's one, inhale, exhale. Second one is it keeps the joints mobile, so people like it and they explore. Secondly, they will never force themselves beyond the range of motion because it's inhale. Okay, that's it. I will never, ever try to go further than that. So that's also a very safe way to teach. And the third reason why dynamic movement is so good is because you can layer other aspects of the practice within it, whether that is a chant, an affirmation, anything goes really. And with that, you really taking the practice further, but not just physically. So that's why I wanted to jump in and say, can we expand a little bit more on that in and out? Because when I did my teacher training, it was always dynamic movement, inhale up, exhale down, or in and out of the pose type of a thing. And maybe I have said what you were going to say, but Can you tell us a little bit more about this dynamic in and out type of move? How does it serve you in your classes?
It serves repetition. People like repetition. The way I look at it is people in front of me, I'm trying to connect with your nervous system. So because the nervous system is key, it will allow you to do various things. If you feel safe, you're then going to start to explore. So after classes, when I go around and talk to people, and they'll say, oh, when we first started doing that movement, I felt very stiff in my shoulder, or I felt it just wasn't clicking. I didn't understand it. But the more that we started to do it, the more I felt I was more flexible. And I think, actually, no, it was your nervous system saying, OK, we're safe. We can do this. Because the brain is there to protect you. That's the only function it's there to do, is to keep you alive. So obviously, as you're moving in and out of something, you're starting to relax. And as you start to relax and start not to feel, oh, that person's doing it more over there, or that person, once you get into your own groove, your nervous system is going to allow you to move the muscle a little bit more. It's going to allow you to be curious of what you can do. And then also sometimes with able-bodied, we go, because again, they're so fixed to perhaps a warrior two stance, going really wide with their stance. And then when you start to say, step back in and step out, the brain thinks, do you know what? I'm going to keep this in a functional range, because if I'm stepping out really wide, it's a lot of effort to come back in. So all of a sudden, people start to become more in the functional range of things rather than trying to go to the full extreme. One thing that I do sometimes, and again, this is learning through Alex, was getting people to stand in Tadasana, or even you're seated. How are you expecting that to be? Okay, if you were on a moving escalator, horizontal escalator, how would you change your stance? And you can see people start to shift. Or something I heard from, and it's not mine, was, okay, if I was going to tell you you're going to stay here for 20 minutes, how are you going to change your posture? They changed their posture. And that was from a workshop I went to. I'm not crediting myself on that. But people shift. And then you go back to what you were. What shift? So it's all about, oh, there's the way that I should be in this posture. And then there's a way that suits my body. Now, going in and out of postures, I'm going to hopefully find my parameter. I'm going to find what works for me today. Tomorrow, when I do that, it could be slightly different. But I'm allowing myself to find my range, finding what works for me. And if you only do it once, you might not find that. You're going to probably go to your extreme. So dynamic in and out allows you to find the fluffy part of where you think, this is it for me, this is it today. Yeah, so that has been a learning curve for me, to take more things out of a class than that I'm putting in. I still put in too much, but I'm learning that actually I can take things out. And you could have three postures, which I'll probably get to one day, but three postures that people can explore, and before you know it, the class is done. So it's, for me, it's how do I feel? How am I showing up for myself? What can I discover? What can I learn about myself? And can I be in this moment? That's it. Can I be here now, in this moment, showing up for myself, gifting myself the moment of time, and just being here? That's it.
When I did the British Wheel of Yoga Foundations course, the 60-hour course that you do, the first thing that we did was explore Tadasana, like you said, and then we had to explore with our eyes closed, and then open the eyes and look all around the room. And what you discovered as well is that everybody's Tadasana was different. Mm. It was entirely different, because they walked around first, then they stood with wide legs, then they stood with narrow legs, then they stood with the legs together. And then suddenly the teacher says, just find a mountain pose you like, depending on how you feel. but don't look at your next person, or ideally keep your eyes closed. And we, very obedient, we closed our eyes, we did it, and then opened our eyes and looked around. And it was the most amazing thing that put seeds in teachers' minds. It was the perfect setting, actually, to do this sort of things. Put seeds in teachers' minds that there shouldn't be fixed alignment or fixed shapes in our classes. It only limits our capabilities to teach. So what you were saying is about creating a space of exploration. So that was the first thing that came to mind when you were talking. And the second thing that came to mind when you were talking was about stretching. People think that they need to stretch to get a bigger range of motion. Actually, stretching is a nervous system function. And people don't realize that stretching is a nervous system function. And only when you feel relaxed that you can probably gain a bigger range of motion. Yes, okay, fine. But it isn't about achieving again a certain shape, because our skeleton is as different as our face.
Absolutely.
And therefore, no one is going to look like that warrior two in that book as a particular example. So again, something that people don't realize is that when we are moving like this, and you were talking about being safe and your mind and your brain and your nervous system going, actually, I'm all right with this. I feel good with this. I can go a little bit further and this is nice. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking that people do not actually know that stretching is a nervous system function. So your brain does it, not your skeleton, not your muscles.
Exactly. That's very true. And yeah, it's finding your own safety, your own safety net. And I do enjoy, I haven't taught in person since the pandemic. And I actually enjoy teaching online, because people are allowing themselves to have their camera on, have their camera off, and experience it for themselves. And I say to people at the end of most of the classes, I am humbled because you have allowed a stranger, me, into your safe space. You've let me in through a little screen. And it's therefore, it's for me to ensure that your space still feels safe after I've gone, because this is your home. So I am humbled, I'm honoured that you allowed me into your home through this screen. And I don't take that lightly. I really don't. It's a very important thing, because it could be different going into a studio and you don't feel safe. You can come out of that and go back into your home. However, the distinction is now you've invited me into your home. Therefore, it's my responsibility to ensure somehow that I hold the space that you feel safe in your own home by allowing me in it.
I never thought about that, but yes. It's a really nice reminder that when we are teaching online and somebody has a camera on, it's like we are inside their own houses. Even this live, you have a beautiful screen behind you, which I should really get one. But as you see, I'm in my guest room. So the doors are closed and it's nice and tidy, but that doesn't mean that the rest of the house is like the rest of the house. It may not be tidy. Who knows? But whatever, as teachers, it's like visiting someone in their house. You can't pass judgment. You're there for the person. You're not there for the setting. You're there and you need to leave them with that sense of happiness and security and safety, as you say. I never thought about it, but I always thought that I'm invited in their houses. I never thought that it is my responsibility to also leave the space as I found it.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that's not an added pressure, but it's an acknowledgement for me to ensure. And you're not always going to get it. It won't be for everybody. And I always say to people, sometimes if they're new, please, if this isn't for you, don't feel like you have to stay. Don't endure my class, because that is not what it's about. Don't endure it. If it's not for you, and that's fine. Leave. It's fine. It's not a problem.
Sometimes they just want to practice for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
They'll show up. They want to do the first 10, 15 minutes. And then they're like, actually, I had enough. I don't understand actually sometimes why people think it is okay to say, just stay for the warm up if you're doing exercise. And they can't say that for yoga. Well, when I teach chair exercise classes, I'm like, you can leave after the warm-up if you want. Oh, yeah. I put the leg aspect of it or the standing aspect of it at the very end of the class. By that point in time, you've been exercising for 45 minutes. If you don't feel like it, exit left and center. So it is just, I never thought about putting that into a yoga class, this caveat, shall we say, into yoga class. So it's been really amazing to learn from you and to understand how we facilitate students who come to the class with wrist problems or any really imbalance. So tell us, what is your takeaway from our discussion today?
A takeaway from our discussion today is that don't be afraid to try. Don't be afraid to experiment. It's great, Instagram, to meet new people, to connect. So thank you very much. And yeah, just be you, show up for you. And no matter what, that's another thing with the chair, the floor, which is what I say as well, is that it's unconditional. The support that's underneath you is unconditional. So if you're unhappy, the ground isn't going to change because you're unhappy. The chair's not going to change. The bed's not going to change. How you move today is, it's just fleeting in this moment. So yeah, that's my takeaway, is just be you.